Father, we go into your word. It's a sacred thing to enter your word. It's a holy thing. Your scripture is so full of life and wisdom and strength and power and glory. Every word's alive and well. It's not just a dormant alphabetic letters on a piece of paper, but it's alive, God. It changes our hearts and quickens our minds and encourages our spirit. Everything in it's alive. That's why it's a lively hope that we have in you. I pray every word that is spoken tonight brings you glory. Every word that is spoken is truth, and that it is revealed within each of us as truth, and that we leave here, God, encouraged and lifted up by your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We're going to be talking tonight, if you'd be finding Hebrews, book of Hebrews, and we're going to do a part two tonight, that something better is on the way. And we're going to continue this message over in Hebrews. We were in Romans this morning. Romans 8, if you weren't here this morning, we was in Romans 7, 7 or 8. But we'll be in Hebrews tonight, chapter 11. Hebrews 11. And I am so thankful that there's something better waiting on us. Man, I'm thankful for that. Because I'm telling you, life can have a lot of trouble and a lot of pain and a lot of grief. And the more you live, guess what? The more trouble you have, right? And the more pain you have most time. And the more folks you lose. You know, Manley said last night, said, you know, I'm down to two aunts. Started out, there was eight of y'all, the siblings, eight. Five girls, three boys, or six girls, two boys. So Manley had two uncles and six aunts, and she's down just to two aunts out of eight. And we see as time goes on, people go on, they pass. And they leave a great void in our life. They leave an emptiness. But that emptiness will not always be. That emptiness will be filled again in that to come. And we'll never have to worry about them leaving us again, or that emptiness again, or that void again, or that pain again, or that grief again. All that will be passed away in the world that is to come. And for those that are already gone on, they're walking in that. They're with the Lord. I believe what Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I believe that. And I really believe that there is, you know, that there are some that, you know, there's some that teach and they can pull scriptures out for this, or you know, you can take scripture and do anything. I mean, you know, people took in grace and just said you can do what you want because we're under grace. I mean, we can do anything we want with it. But there are people that believe in what they call soul sleep, that believe there's no resurrection until the final trumpet sounds, and they're just laying dormant waiting on that resurrection. I don't believe that at all. I don't think that's scripture at all. I believe that when a person the last breath out of their body, that they are immediately in the heavenlies with God. They're in a whole different dimension with God. And there is no awaiting period of a resurrection. They have been raised up in Christ and go to be with him. And then I do believe in a millennial kingdom. I believe in a millennial rule. And, you know, I believe in the redemption of our bodies, as we read this morning, and all that coming together again. Looks like Adam and Eve were created to be without dying, without sickness, over, you know, dominion and power over creation, over all things except God, of course. And I believe that again. But I don't believe we just lay there and we're just waiting on something to happen. I believe that a person immediately experiences the joys of the kingdom of God and they're with Jesus. And to me, that gives me great hope to realize that, you know, because, you know, Jesus said in his word, he said, you know, I'll never leave you, forsake you. I'll be with you to the end of the age, or end of the world. And I believe that, you know, that goes on beyond the world. I think once I'm in Christ and he's in me, there's no separation from that point on. He says in his word that neither height nor depth, nor, you know, things to come, nor things present, nor death, you know, nor all these things can separate us from the love of God. And so if death can't separate me from God, then why do I think that there's a separation during that time? I don't. I think we immediately live with God. I think we see the things of God. And once again, I think that's why we're able to be ushered in. Brought your uncle up this morning, David, you know, as he laid up here in Cleveland Clinic, how I know he wanted to go. He's ready to go. And how that I really believe he saw some things before he left this room. I think he saw the portal open. I think he saw the hand of God. He saw something so beautiful that he was willing to leave all of us behind to go to that. I really believe that. I believe God gives us that, you know, that thing just to welcome us home, to usher us in. And it's a beautiful thing. So we're going to be in Hebrews tonight, chapter 11. And let me put my readers on, Melanie. And we're going to start in verse 8. We'll read 8 through 10, then skip down, I think, 13 through 16. But 8, 9, and 10. Verse 8 says, and before this now, what's happening? It's what we call the faith chapter. It talks about all these different Bible characters, you know, that lived, By faith, Noah did this. By faith, Enoch did this. By faith, by faith. It's a faith chapter. But I want to concentrate on the one point. In verse 8 it says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should go after, receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now this to me is very type and shadow of what we look forward to. Because when God saves us, doesn't he call us into a land we may not know? A land that's kind of strange, and to a promise we've not yet seen, but we believe by faith we'll find it. When they called Abraham out, Abraham was very comfortable where he was at. Had a family, business, friends, very familiar position, a place. And God said, go. Abraham's going to go where? Just trust me, just go. He packed his stuff up and left what he knew was familiar, left some of his family, left his friends, left his livelihood, and says, okay, God, I'm going to follow you. I don't know where I'm going, but I trust you. So you take me to that land you said you have waiting on me. And we know the story, of course. He went on, God blessed him, his seed, and all this. And now Abraham's in that heavenly place too, waiting on all of us. Abraham was looking for something bigger than what he had and more than what he could put his hands to. He was looking for a city that God had waiting on him. He was looking for a place that was more than just tents and tabernacles and a land. He was looking for something that was deeper. He was looking for something that would go on after he went on, and it wouldn't just end here. Man, if all we had was this and that was it, what a miserable existence a lot of us would have. Even the best of lives have a lot of sorrow. The best of lives have a lot of tragedy. The best of lives have battles and storms. And if this was all that we had, life would almost make no sense to even exist. I mean, maybe you thought that. Maybe you've even asked yourself, what is really the purpose of life? I'm born, I have sorrows, and I have troubles. And I have people that die. I lose my mama. I lose my daddy. I lose my children sometimes. I lose my job. I lose my house. I lose my car. I get diagnosed with cancer or diabetes or a disease or a sickness. I get crippled. I can't walk. God, what is the purpose of life even? I mean, don't even make any sense to live and experience this and then just die. Well, this should all point us and tell us that you're right. There would be no purpose in that. But there's a purpose of us being here because of what's waiting on us. And we're crossing over. In order to get there, we got to be here. In order to get to B, we got to get to A. Because we're a creation of God. And we were breathed life into us. And when we caught up on Jesus, whatever age you were, when you caught up on Jesus, you then become his child. And you become part of his plan. You become part of his future. And now you have a home and a place waiting on you. If you didn't exist, it wouldn't be there. But because you exist, because you're here, because you heard the call, as Samuel said, because he called his name, now he has a promise and he has a hope of something better than what this world has to offer. We have a plan B when plan A expires. We definitely have a plan B. And that plan B is we are with God, redeemed and restored, our body redeemed, our mind redeemed, everything put back together like it's supposed to be. And we have that eternal, glorious existence that is forever more. It's hard for us to imagine this because we're human beings and all we measure is what we see here. We measure time like we see here. We measure eternity like we see here. I mean, we say someone lived to be 80 or 90. That's a good life. That's not a long life at all in eternity. But we say that. You know, my Aunt Kathleen, 78. I mean, that's a decent life. It's decent. Still too young, but it's decent. And her quality of life was good until the stroke. So her years, she still went to the gym and worked out, exercise. I mean, she had no health issues. She had a stroke. So her quality of life was good until a few weeks ago. But it's not near as good as it is now, her quality of life and what she's experiencing. And man, that's what we have waiting on us. I mean, the angels are just, you know, waiting and singing. And it's a, man, I believe it is. You remember when CC's Pizza was in town? Anybody ready to CC's Pizza? When you walk in, what they do? Welcome to CC's. Welcome to CC's. And they yell across the restaurant. What got on my nerves? I'm like, I just want to eat some pizza. You know what I'm saying? But thank you. Welcome to CC's. And now a lot of people do. They go to Subway. Welcome to Subway. Other restaurants are kind of doing that now. And but man, you walk in and they're just so, you know, excited and, you know, welcome to CC. Well, just think about how the kingdom of God is. Welcome home. The celebration's going on. Welcome home. Welcome home, Roy Minton. You know, welcome home, Claude Kathleen Byer. Welcome home. Welcome home. And welcome home. We're here to celebrate. I mean, I'm telling you, it's a celebration for those that are the saints of God. That's why Psalms tells us this. Precious in the sight of God. Precious are the death of his saints. Why would God say something like that? Think about that. Why would God say, it's precious, I like when my saints die? That's really what it's kind of saying, precious. Why would he take pleasure in the death of his saints? Because they're walking in to what he prepared for them. And now they can see it. Just like a mom or dad that's got a birthday gift right for their kid, and they know what's in it, but you don't. The kid don't know what's in it, but you know what's in it. And you're more excited to give it to them as they are to open it up because you know what you got for them. You know they're going to love it. Unless it's that, you know, ugly tie or that pair of socks every kid gets that you socks. Ooh, really good. But other than that, you're excited about getting that gift or about giving that gift because you know when they pull that bow and their eyes. We've got a picture of our three kids, and Jamie and Christian especially. They were very expressive. Ashley was younger, but Jamie and Christian's face. This woman gave our kids a Wii for Christmas a few years ago. A Wii. And it was just so, mainly worked with this woman and just wanted, or no, went to school with this girl. And just for some reason wanted to bless us. And she went and bought a Wii video system for our kids, you know, to share. And I remember they opened it up and Christian and Jamie's on the couch. And I says, for all of y'all, so y'all owe tear the paper. And we got a snapshot, a freeze frame. You know, Jamie's face is, and Christian, well, Christian's got this look, like the Angela look, I call it. Man, she looks like you so much. Her expressions are so much like you. She has this look where I, like, oh, and Jamie's, the excitement. You know, that is priceless to see their two faces in that picture of how excited they were. They could not believe that was a Wii system because that was an expensive system, and we didn't get it. Someone else got it. We didn't make sure they knew that. But that was an expensive gift, and to see their expression, and we knew what was in it. We knew they'd be excited. That's how God is. He's got this big old thing wrapped up called My Kingdom. And it takes a lot of paper and tape for that, but it's called My Kingdom. And whenever we walk in, see, whenever Kathleen walked in a couple days ago, she got to pull her bow off. And Ivona went away at 2:36 this morning, she got to pull her bow off. You know, when Melon's grandma went 6 years ago, she got to pull her bow off. And that expression of their face for each time they walk in, for each person that walks in, that's why God's excited. He's like, man, wait till you see what I've got waiting on. Just wait. I mean, you served me. You had a lot of sorrow, a lot of pain. You had some good times too. But man, you have some real good times now because look what I've got waiting on you. And they walk in celebrating. Abraham went and obeyed God into a land he didn't know, seeking something bigger than what he had prepared or what he could ever accomplish. He said, oh, here's what he was saying. Okay, God, you got something bigger for me than I can do for myself, so I trust you. So I'll follow you, and I'm going to obey you. I'm going to serve you. Because I'm looking for something more than what I can do. I'm looking for something deeper than what I could ever dream up. Because I'm just not satisfied. The world just don't quite satisfy. We're still a little empty. No matter how much the world we taste, how many things we dab into, how much experimentation we do, how many things we try, we always come back empty, realizing it just don't quite satisfy. I mean, it just don't hit the spot. But God hits the spot. His mercy, his grace, his love, his anointing, he fulfills us. He satisfies us. That's why Jesus says, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. See, we're not filled with anything else. We still are have that appetite waiting on something. And even for us Christians, as we grow older and our journey goes on, that's what happens to us. Our appetite gets a little bit deeper. It gets a little bit deeper. I want a little bit more. I want a little bit something else. And I think God begins to prepare his saints for that crossing over that you're about to walk in to that deeper measure and that deeper thing that you've been desiring and waiting for because this just don't quite satisfy. You go to church, you worship. We have just moments of God's anointing. We have flashes of his glory. We have a few, maybe a few minutes in a song or an altar call or, you know, our long time of God. We have a few flashes of God's glory. But man, they're here and they're gone. And then we're wanting more, searching for something more, deeper. God, I want to feel it again. The kingdom of God, it'll be eternal and always. We'll always be on. We'll always be on. There'll be no lapse. There'll be no void or no empty or no downtime. We'll always be on. It won't be flashes of His glory. It'll be fulfillment of His glory. We'll be in field completely with all of who He is because He's prepared that for us. Hallelujah. That's exciting. Amen, preacher. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Can I get somebody to be as a witness in the house? Wish I had Medea here. Okay, let's see. Verse 13. These all died, talking about all the ones before, listen to chapter 11, Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Enoch and Noah and all those. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Even back then, before the Messiah came on the earth, these Old Testament saints and patriarchs confessed, I'm a stranger and a pilgrim in this land. This isn't where I belong. Something's not right. There's something that's got to be more. By faith, none of them received it when they died, but they died believing it because it says they seen it from afar off. We too can see the glory of God from afar off. We know it's waiting on us. We see the horizon, and we understand it is fixed and not going anywhere. And every day we live, we are slowly approaching that horizon. Every day we live, we're one step closer to walking into that fulfilled promise God has for us of eternal glory. We can see it. We can taste it. We can feel it. We feel it in the atmosphere. We know. We can just feel the dynamics changing. We know that the glory of God, the closer we get to our time, is going to be fulfilled in us. And that's why God prepares us for it, and that's why I think the saints are ready for it when it's their time, because they know my appetite's about to be filled, finally, for the last time. And it will remain with me, and I'll never hunger again, and I'll never truly thirst again. We still have times of hunger and thirst in the earth because of the way the world is. But there'll be a day there'll be no hunger and thirst, and everything will be fulfilled and it'll be right. He's seen it from afar. All these saints in their faith believed it. They died in it, but they believed it. Think about, they knew something else was on the way. David talked about it. He knew something else was on the way. All mankind felt incomplete, realizing the law is not enough, all my works aren't enough, you know, all the prayer time I have, not. There's got to be something more to come. There's got to be something to set me free. And Jesus was that something that set us free. He appeared 2,000 years ago, died on a cross, shed His blood to set us free. That we have a hope that cannot be changed. A hope the devil cannot steal. A hope the world can't disbelieve. Every single person can tell us there is no heaven, and that's la-la land. There is no kingdom of God. There is no life after death. But as Joshua said, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And part of that serving God is believing in that hope, believing in that place, believing there's a place waiting and reserved for us, as Peter said, that is undefiled, unfading. It's reserved for us. It's waiting on us, and it can't be altered or changed no matter what happens in the systems world. It will not negate what God's already done. When He hung on the cross, His last words were, "It is finished. My kingdom is now reestablished, and forevermore my seed and my children will have a place and a hope that cannot be erased. It is fixed in time for all of future generations. It's finished. It's done. I've paid the price. The blood's been shed. The law's been fulfilled. All is complete and all is done. And by grace are they now saved, a gift of God forevermore. I am a workmanship of Christ, an ambassador, more than a conqueror, above all things because of what He did for me." And the enemy knows that. And the devil knows that. He fights you with that. And that's why we remind him, you may come against me and attack me and try to lie to me, but I know whose I am. And I know who lives in me. And I know who I serve. And I know what He did. And I know the cross stood. And the Lamb bled. And the Lamb rose. And the Lamb ascended. And the Lamb's coming back. That I know, church, without a shadow of a doubt, that the kingdom of God is at hand. Hallelujah. That I believe in. And that I know. With confidence. So be encouraged.
Don't worry about what this world's doing to you. Don't, man, we can suffer a little bit of stuff to know what God's prepared for us and what's waiting on us ahead. And the saints of God knew that. They knew there's something more to come. They knew a Messiah was going to come. Maybe not their day, but he did come. Just like we will be changed. Maybe not in our day, but there'll be a day where the saints of God on this side will be changed and transported and immediately translated into a place that eyes haven't seen and ears haven't heard. It'll happen in a moment, in an instant. As the word of God is true, that too will happen, church. All will not die, but shall be changed. The Bible says, those that are alive and remain shall be changed. This tells me there's a generation that'll be alive when that trumpet sounds and will walk and cross in and cross the Jordan on this side into the glorification of the sonship of God that he called us to be in the very beginning. God's not done yet with us. There's a whole world yet to be unveiled, and the curtain is blocking us right now. The curtain of flesh is blocking us. But when that curtain of flesh is removed, as it has been this weekend with our family, as that curtain is removed, eyes can clearly see on the other side and experience all God has prepared and waited on them all these years. Their faith has now been realized. And that's what's waiting on us. Glory to God. That's heaven. That's the kingdom. That's eternal life. That's why we love Jesus so much, because he paid a price that I could be with him forevermore and never worry about death or hell or separation. You know, God doesn't leave us in those moments of our deathbed. God's right there. God's, you know, holding us. God's embracing us. And one thing I always pray when someone I know they're dying, I pray, and I prayed it with Kathleen. I said, Lord, you know, I always pray, Lord, let them feel your presence. Let them know you're in the room. Lord, take their hand and just wrap yourself around them. And in the whatever state they're in, if they can't maybe hear me consciously, Lord, let them hear you. Let them feel you. Let them know you're there and usher them in. Let them know they're not alone because they're in a coma or they've had a stroke or they can't breathe or whatever the issue is. Let them know, God, they're not alone. Let them feel your presence in this room to know that your word is true, that you didn't leave them and you didn't forsake them. You are with them to the very end, holding their hand, crossing them over, not letting go. I just believe, church, for the saints of God, there is no fear whatsoever. No fear. Only peace and joy they see. I just truly believe that there is no fear once God begins to show up and begin to show them. I just think we can let go in such peace and joy just knowing where I'm going. I'm coming home to where I belong. And I believe, I've said this before, I believe this will be like a vapor and a dream in our lives. And when we get there, that'll be the real deal. It'll be like we woke up and we'll have a dream. Man, I dreamed. I was a pastor. I dreamed. I had a family. I dreamed. Was that a dream? Because this, I like woke up and now I'm here. And wow, what a dream I had. It lasted for, you know, 82 years. What a dream I had. And here I am now in the kingdom of God. This is where I belong. This is where I'm supposed to be at. All right, look at verse 14. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out of, they might have had the opportunity to have returned. But they didn't want that country, the Bible says. What do they want? Verse 16, but now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. God hath prepared for us something more than this land that we're in. This land called earth, flesh, earthly realm. A land prepared. And all of our lives, we're getting closer to finding and crossing into that land. God puts that desire, I think, in every Christian to have that hope and expectation of wanting to see Jesus, wanting to see the Lord, wanting to be at the throne, wanting to escape all the bondage of sin, the law that's been a curse on mankind, and that curse finally lifted off forevermore, and us be restored back to where God had us in the beginning. We were his creation to live and to breathe and to rule and to reign. And there was the fall, and then here come grace, and the grace is
forgiven that and erased all that, but yet we still fight the flesh. Paul said, I have two wars always going on, the flesh and the spirit, and they're always battling. Sometimes we win, sometimes we lose. We're always battling. But there'll be a day we won't battle anymore. There'll be a day we give in, we give up the ghost to the Lord, and he takes us home where we belong. Celebration for those that have died in Christ. It's a celebration, for they have crossed into a place that is far better than where we are right now. Far better, church. And we never want to come back. They can't come to us, as David said, but we will go to them. You know, David even had understanding way long before Jesus and grace and the redemption of the Messiah. David understood that when he lost his little baby. He says that my baby can't come back to me. It's gone. But I one day will go to it. I one day will see my baby. He can't cross over to where I'm at, but I will cross over to where he is at. That's what God's prepared for us. And for the Christian, for the one who's placed their faith in Christ, you know, it is the only, I mean, really, it's the only, what is the, it's the only teaching, religion, if you want to call it, Christianity, that really teaches this. There's other people that, you know, I know the Muslims talk about, you know, the 64 virgins or whatever it is and different things. But this is the only teaching that gives mankind any hope of a real life after death. Not a reincarnated life. We're not going to come back as bumblebees and buffalo. That's not what we do. We, when we transport out of here, will translate into his kingdom and be there forevermore. And man, here's the good news. The devil won't be there. And all of his demons won't be there. And all that bad influence won't be there. And all them hard knocks against your life won't be there. We will be in that garden again, protected and sealed by the hand of God. And no more harm, and no more deception, and no more danger, and no more pain will ever be able to touch our lives. We have crossed the finish line. Man, that place is so, I just know it is so real. For people to not believe that there's something after death, that this is just it. I mean, even the smart scientist or the one with a doctorate degree or, no offense to Don, the IT man who thinks here has to understand it makes no sense that we're born to a life like this and that's it. I mean, that just makes no sense. Even the person that's just totally intellectual has to process that and think, that makes no sense. Even data files, Don, if I'm not right, kind of going forever, right? I mean, they say you erase stuff, but it's somewhere out there. It's floating somewhere. When Don typed that word green one time, he told us not to ever type in whatever color that was. That is somewhere out there floating. Thanks. Appreciate it. So, even though we can't see it on our monitor, it's somewhere in the atmosphere, technically speaking. So, I mean, even we know that is out there. Or, you know, things in the earth that kind of remain really forever. I mean, there's things that just remain. So why do we think that our life, the most precious thing God did was humanity? Why do you think he would create a person to live 40, 50, 60, 70 years, miserable, pain, sickness, sorrows, and just die and hope you enjoyed it? I mean, that don't even make sense to our intellect. God's got a greater purpose and a greater plan for us to inherit. But here's the deal. It's kind of like in sports. You got to go to what you call practice. Are you kidding me? Practice. Remember Allen Iverson's rant? Practice. They're talking about practice. Well, you know what? Nobody likes practice because it don't count. We want to be in the game. We don't want to go to practice. It's boring and nothing matters and we got to go through all the drills. Nobody likes to practice. But if there's no practice, we're not prepared for the game. Well, you know what? This earth is the practice period. We don't like it. But you know what? There's a game waiting on the other side. The real deal's waiting. And then we'll cross over and we'll be part of God's game forevermore. So this is very temporary. It's just a temporary journey. So enjoy your journey. Celebrate your journey. You know, invest in your journey. All for the glory of God.
You know, invest. The one thing that our pastor, my former pastor, said about Kathleen at the funeral, he shared with the church about her legacy and what she left her grandchildren. That she left her grandchildren, she has many grandchildren, left her grandchildren the legacy of a godly woman and the things of God. And that was the greatest thing she could have left them, was her teaching of Jesus, her teaching of following God. And the pastor encouraged the grandchildren, give your heart to them. Call on them and give your heart to them and embrace what your grandmother tried to teach you. You know, that's the greatest thing we invest in is others. And me and Melanie have raised our kids to trust God, believe in God, and He is real and He is alive and there is a heaven and there is a hell and He loves you. And we've taught our children that from birth. It's the greatest investment we can give them. Whether they fall or not, we can't control. But I know that we've invested the best we can to make sure they know the truth. And you know what? It's that truth in them that'll be revealed one day that'll make all the troubles go away when they cross over and realize, thanks, Mom, Dad, Grandma, Granddad, Aunt, Uncle, whoever. Thank you for telling me about the Lord. Thank you for telling me about His Word. Thank you for letting me know what truth was, because I'm in this place because someone told me about it. I'm here in heaven because someone invested in my life. We're just journeying. We're pilgrims. We're passing through. It's like them old wagon trains, you know, when they're going out west. They get all them coaches and horses, and they'd come from the east wanting to build a new life in the west. And they would go from territory to state, wherever it was at that time, and they'd cross go through all the, you know, storms and the rivers and the creeks and the snows and the winters, and they would try to, and they were, what were they doing? They wasn't staying in those places. They had a destination waiting on them. We're going to Utah. We're going to Nevada. We're going to California. We're going to New Mexico, wherever. We're starting out in Detroit, but we're going to end up in Salt Lake City, whatever. We're just passing through. All we're doing, we're one big wagon train, and we're passing through. And each one that passes on in Christ is a wagon that crossed over. I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. And each one of us in Christ will cross over too. And our wagon train will go home. And we'll be at our final destination where God is waiting on all of us, celebrating our entry into heaven. No place like it.